You're listening to the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.
So we've been talking about laws of evidence, and we said that the last two chapters of Yevamot are all connected with laws of evidence. Very much about, just as much about marriage as
Where
they
are you?
Are about Yibum. And we learned that a single witness can serve as the evidence of the death of a husband in order to allow a woman to remarry. And that single witness can even be the wife herself. In other words, a wife can testify to the effect that her husband is dead and she can remarry. Her evidence is accepted effectively like the evidence of two kosher witnesses in any other case. And so the Mishnah then goes on. We're in the fifth Mishnah of the fifth chapter. What if there are two wives and they disagree? And we might just about be able to imagine this possibility. Achat omeret mate, v'achat omeret lo mate. One woman, and this must refer to a wife, as we'll see in a minute. One woman said he's dead, and one said he's not dead. The one who said he's dead can marry and take her ketubah because her testimony is valid. And the one that who said he's not dead may not marry and may not take her ketubah. And remember, we established when we started looking at this Mishnayot, there are five categories of women who are not trusted to testify against or about the wife. So in general, we learned that any testimony is accepted in order to establish that a woman's husband has died and to free her from the status of being an aguna. So in other words, the rabbis bend over backwards in order to accept testimony to free a wife to marry again. But there are five exceptions. Remember, the mother-in-law, there's two kinds of sister-in-law, the daughter of the wife, and so on. There are these exceptions, and the rival wife is one of the exceptions. A rival wife is not allowed to testimony on behalf of another wife with the same husband. So the second wife who said he's not dead, well, she can't marry on the evidence of the first wife. And certainly the testimony of the second wife won't be accepted to disqualify the evidence of the first one either. So we get to the what seems like an impossible position, but it's logical from the point of view of the way the halacha works. The first woman, the one who said he's died, she can remarry. And the one who says he's not died, she cannot remarry. She can't take a ketubah. Achat omeret met, v'achat omeret nerag. Now one said he's dead and the other said he was killed. So they disagree on the detail. Now, if we'd been judging a capital case, we'd have thrown out their evidence because they disagree. And witnesses, if two witnesses are needed. If the two witnesses disagree in any detail, we throw out their evidence. But remember, in this case, we don't need two witnesses. We just need one witness who's not contradicted. Well, Rabbi Meir is going to say, Rabbi Meir Omer, Ho'il v'hen machshikot zo et zo, hare elu lo tinasu. Rabbi Meir says they contradict one another. One said he's dead, the other said he was killed. They contradict one another. Lo tinaseu, they shall not remarry. So Rabbi Meir is essentially making them both agunot. And by the way, as a sort of flash preview or spoiler, I just want to bring you the Rambam, the commentary of the Rambam. The Rambam says at this point, V'ein halacha k'Rabbi Meir. The halacha doesn't go according to Rabbi Meir. But that is his opinion. Rabbi Yudav, and we've said before, by the way, that the Mishnah always preserves minority opinions. It respects minority opinions. It's really quite an interesting lesson for how we conduct our own kind of legislative affairs today. The fact that the Mishnah will respect the minority, even if it doesn't rule according to the minority. Rabbi Yudav, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, Rabbi Judah, and Rabbi Shimon say, Hoil vizo vizo modim, she'eino kayam. Right? They agree he's not alive, even though they can't quite agree how he died, but they agree he's not alive. Re Elu Yinaseyu, they can both marry again. And this is the halacha. Eid Omer mate, ve Eid Omer lomate. What if one witness says he's dead? And another witness says he's not dead. Now, we already learned in the preceding Mishnah that if one witness says he's dead, and then she remarries, the second witness showing up isn't sufficient to require her to divorce. The first witness effectively counts like a pair. So a single witness afterwards can't rebut that evidence. But one against one without her remarrying, that's not quite the same thing. Eid Omer mate for Eid Omer lo mate. If one witness says he's dead, another witness says he's not dead. Isha Omerit mate, the Isha Omerit lo mate, Hare zo lo tinase. If one wife says he's dead and another wife says he's not dead, she may not marry again. Ha'isha she'alcha hi uvala li mendinat hayam. A woman and her husband went to a country beyond the sea. But the Amra mate Bali, she came back and said, my husband's dead. Tinase v'titol ketuba, v'tsarata asura. She came back and said, well, my husband's dead. She can marry, she can take her ketuba. But her rival wife can't. Because remember, we've learned that the rival wife, and this is a sad position for the rival wife, might be still in the original country. The rival wife can't benefit from the testimony of someone who's married to her husband. In other words, both rivals are disqualified from testifying against each other. So v'tzarata asura, her rival is forbidden. And it's not clear how her rival can ever stop being an aguna unless another witness turns up to demonstrate that this husband has really died. Haita bat Yisrael kohen tochel bitruma. If she was the daughter of an Israelite married to a priest, so in other words, if if her husband, her dead husband, or her possibly dead husband had been a priest, well, we're saying she can't remarry, right? So she's presumptively still married to him. So the Mishnah rules tochel bitruma. She can eat truma. That's according to Rabbi Tarfon, and Rabbi Akiva is going to disagree. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Ein zol derech motziah tami davara. This is not the way to keep her away from transgression. Rabbi Akiva wants to be super frum here, because there is some doubt as to whether her husband is dead or not. Or perhaps the halacha is ambiguous. I mean, her rival wife has remarried. It's not a question of doubt, but her rival wife has remarried. So, from one point of halachic viewpoint, we agree her husband's dead. You know, when we put our hat, we agree her husband's dead from one point of view. And so Rabbi Akiva is saying, look, this isn't the way to keep her from sin. Ein zo derech motziata miyad avera. Ad shete asura lehinase ve'asura milechol bitruma. The only way we can keep her away from transgression is if she's forbidden to remarry, because we're waiting for the second witness, another witness to turn up for her to remarry. Va asura lechom bitruma, but she should also be forbidden to eat truma, because at least, you know, the evidence of her rival wife might not be good enough to free her to remarry, but it should be good enough at least to keep her out of trouble by not eating truma. And the Rambam says, the halacha ka Rabbi Tarfon. In other words, the halacha does not go according to Rabbi Akiva. And, you know, That's very interesting here. Logically, Rabbi Akiva is right. She shouldn't be eating truma because we have a strong presumption that her husband is dead. She's no longer entitled to eat truma. But the halacha doesn't go according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva may be right from an intellectual point of view, but somehow he seems to be wrong from a moral point of view. If she's not permitted to remarry, then how can we stop, you know, morally, how can we stop her eating truma, you know, which is a significant economic advantage to her as a widow? Truma is cheaper than regular food because fewer people can eat it. So it's very interesting that the rabbis choose a path which is economically more beneficial to the widow or to the aguna, even though it would seem to us to be intellectually less respectable.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Daily Mishnah Podcast with Benedict.